Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Jerry Mitchell craves adventure. Exploring the ocean and the mountains was only training for his greatest adventure, exploring the Bible. Digging through the language, culture, and history to discover the answers to the questions that many people ask. With the tenacity of a hunting lion, he refuses to stop until every detail is justified, proven, and can be explained without speculation. Not afraid and unoffended by the truth, he continues to reveal answers to the difficult questions. The author of three critically acclaimed books, Tradition to Truth, One Man's Search for Honest Answers, God's Universe, God's Rules, and Inheriting Lies, Jerry Mitchell is our guest on This Week in America. Jerry, welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you. It is an absolute honor to be here.
We are going to talk in detail about all three of the books. The books are available, of course, wherever books are sold. I'll direct you to Jerry's website. I'll give you this throughout the conversation, authorjerrymitchell.com. Of course, we have it on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Jerry, let's start with Tradition to Truth, One Man's Search for Honest Answers. What was the inspiration for this book and the way you went about writing it, presenting it to us?
The biggest inspiration was through the years I've talked to people, and they always think that the Bible is either hard to understand or there's just no way to understand it. There must be some code, and you have to go to a Bible college or go to a seminary to figure out what's going on. And the reality is, after talking with so many people, I finally figured out that the biggest problem people have with the Bible is not the Bible itself. What they're trying to do is force their traditions onto the pages of the Bible. And most of the time, those traditions just don't fit. And I really wanted to write it in a way that was very basic and easy to understand. I wanted to put things side by side so they could see what our traditions are and where many of them came from, I should say, and what's actually written in the Bible itself.
This is an excellent presentation. Yes, go ahead. Finish that thought. I'm just going to say this is an excellent presentation because it really is understandable for those of us that might have thought it's a little too complicated for me.
Exactly. You know, a lot of times folks, when they think about the Bible, unfortunately, we get most of what we know today from our entertainment industry.
Yes.
And that's all fiction. You can't take something that you see on a television show, a fictional television show, and apply that to your spiritual life. It just doesn't work. But a lot of people try it. And I really wanted folks to be able to sit down and look at it side by side. I introduced the book with a brief history of my life to let people know, hey, you know, I'm just like you. I'm nobody special. So, you know, look through this and see what you think. And that's really what I'm trying to get people to do is think about not necessarily their religion, but their spiritual life and what they're doing with it.
Well, is that what you want people to take away from reading this book in the series, Tradition to Truth, One Man's Search for Honest Answers by Jerry Mitchell, our guest on the program? Is that what you hope to achieve from the book, is people start asking questions and looking at their lives?
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that that I'm trying to have people do is ask questions.
Yes.
One of the things I said a few weeks ago on another interview, and I didn't realize it was going to resonate with people this way. I said, it's okay to ask questions. You know, if you have a pastor, a priest, a rabbi, whoever your person might be that you might ask questions of, ask them. It's okay. That's what they're there for.
Oh, yes.
And I've had several people say, I never thought about it. Well, if you want to know the answer to something, chances are the only way you're going to find it out is to start asking questions. And thankfully, a lot of people are asking questions. And, you know, the mass media really likes to report on people walking away from the mainstream churches, and they are. But one of the things I've noticed is that they're not walking away from God. They're walking away from certain denominations that no longer have doctrine that conforms to the Bible. It's actually, much of the doctrine actually conflicts with Bible, the biblical teaching. And that's kind of a shame.
Boy, it's an interesting perspective, and this book is so well written, lays it all out for us to understand. Tradition to Truth, One Man's Search for Honest Answers by Jerry Mitchell. His website is authorjerrymitchell.com. Do you expect anyone to change their religious views, beliefs, possibly, after reading this book?
No. I don't want really anybody to change their faith. And I'm not expecting anybody to convert or anything like that. But I'm hoping that they will examine the way that they're practicing their faith, not the church they're going to, not the denomination they belong to, not the religion that they are, but what they do in their everyday life. You know, faith is something that is very personal. It needs to be worked out without fear and trembling. And the way we practice our faith is something I think every one of us needs to do often. We need to look at it and say, am I living the way my Creator designed me to live? And when we do that, I think it gives us a different perspective sometimes on some of the things we might be doing or some of the things we should be doing.
You know, it's interesting. You've said so much in just a couple of minutes of our conversation. I want to go back to something you said a few minutes ago. What are some of the traditions that actually conflict with the Bible? You talk about traditions, and some of us have our traditions contradict what's in the Bible. Talk about some of those.
This is one of the topics that gets people upset, because a lot of times they'll hold on to their traditions and give more credence to those traditions than they do what's actually written.
Yes.
And one of the things that Christians do, well, Christians especially, is they talk about the 3 days and three nights, and they really can't count to three, because I don't know who you are, but you can't fit 3 days and three nights between Friday afternoon and the following Sunday morning. So that tradition of Good Friday to Easter Sunday, we probably should reevaluate. And Tradition to Truth, I hope, lays out a very good reference to begin that conversation.
We all grow up with learning, and some of our beliefs go back to maybe 6, 7, 8 years old. Is that why we're reluctant to give up on traditions? Because we've had them for so long, they must be right.
Oh, absolutely. You know, when you're 6, 7, 8 years old, and you're sitting on grandma or grandpa's lap, and they're telling you these Bible stories and what they believe, and they were told the same thing. It's a person of trust, and you want to accept that concept of trust from somebody.
Yes.
So it must be right, because they certainly wouldn't tell you something that's not true. You know, they may tell you it's true as they were taught it was true, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's absolute.
Are there any safe traditions?
Yes, there are. You know, I've gone to several different denominational churches, and, you know, some of them sit to pray or stand to sing or do it the opposite way. One of the churches I grew up in, you know, after the offering was taken, you know, they would always stand and sing the doxology. Well, if the pastor is going a little long and something needs to be cut out and that doxology gets done away with that morning, everybody looks around like the roof's going to cave in. You know, it's a safe tradition. It's nice. It's something that people are used to, but it is a tradition. It's not required. So, you know, there are safe traditions within the different religious systems. They just need to be recognized for what they are.
The book we're talking about now, it's one of three written by Jerry Mitchell, our guest on the program. This book is Tradition to Truth, One Man's Search for Honest Answers. Why do so many people treat their traditions as sacred instead of what is written in the Bible? Is some of that just sort of, and I think we wanted to touch on this, maybe complacency. It's something we've always believed. We don't necessarily understand it. But boy, it takes a lot of work to go through the Bible and try to figure out whether this is true or not. I'm just going to trust the people in the pulpit every week.
Exactly. You know, just because you do something the same year after year after year doesn't necessarily mean that's the way it began. If we think about Thanksgiving in the United States, for instance, you know, we often go back to the first Thanksgiving. Well, in my lifetime, I've watched Thanksgiving evolve from, you know, making sure that the table's set properly and that the family's there. And it sort of evolved from that into let's hurry up and eat and watch the football game. And then it was yes. Hurry up and eat, watch the football game, and go shopping early for Black Friday.
Yes.
So, you know, some of these traditions that we have that we hold on to, we hold on to bits and pieces of them, but we don't hold on to the whole thing. Those are the things that we need to examine and find out, you know, is it really necessary to go shopping on Thanksgiving night to buy presents for people you might not like?
You have that right, and go into debt for at least the next 3 to 6 months as you're making the final payments on the gifts for the people you really don't care for all that much. But that got me something, so I guess it all is a wash in the end. Our book that we're talking about is Truth, Tradition to Truth. Jerry Mitchell is the author and our guest on the program. I want to talk about this tenacity that you have. You had same questions many of us have. You followed through, and you did your research. Talk about your past and how your past has influenced your view on religion and spirituality. What kind of influence did that have?
It had a lot. You know, I grew up on a farm. I spent most of my working career working with natural large animal reproduction. There wasn't any artificial insemination involved with what I did. And when you see animals every day and how they interact with each other and how life works, it gives you this sense of there is something out there that designed this. It couldn't have just happened. Many years ago, when my parents got sick and we moved back east to help care for them, I had the opportunity at that point, and I guess really the luxury at that point, to actually start digging and really getting into what the Bible says, because I had questions myself. I asked pastors, I'd ask rabbis, anybody I could find, and I never got a straight answer where they could point to a specific place in the Bible and say, this is where this comes from. Well, I had a conversation with a pastor one time, and he couldn't really answer the question. He said, I don't really know, but you're smart, you figure it out. So I did. What I found out I didn't like, and I was struggling with it. I really struggled with it. And finally, one day, I remember I was standing in our yard, and I finally, out of frustration, said, you know, Lord, you made me hard-headed and thick-skinned. If you really want me to understand this stuff, you know, it's hit me over the head with a baseball bat, but I really want to know it's you doing it. And about 2 days later, he did. And what I started finding out was the more we dig and the more faithful we are to seek his face and gather his knowledge, the more faithful he is to show it to us. And the places he's led me to, the people he's let me speak with, the information I've been able to find, the just the way he's provided some of that information is amazing. And it really has influenced the way I study. It influenced me from going from let's interpret this and figure out, you know, what it means. And interpretation is only a guess. You know, it might be your best guess, but it's only a guess. And what I did is I changed the way I studied. I looked at it more forensically. Where are the clues that make all this fit together? Can I go back in the Bible and, you know, let's see, you know, Jesus said this. Well, he said that the Father gives him everything he needs to say, so he must have said it somewhere before. So you put those things together and find out where it comes from. And then when you put everything into context, it lays it out very, very, very nicely. It goes from just kind of having a bunch of still pictures to a video.
I
kind of came up with the term digging through the language, the culture, and the history. Because without that, you have no context.
It's interesting, as you were contemplating what you were going to do, basically the answer was God saying, Jerry, all you had to do was ask. And he sort of guided you in the proper area, didn't he?
Pretty much, yes.
Yes.
He did. And you know, that journey in itself was amazing.
Well, let's talk about that. The research you were able to do in order to come to the conclusions you reach in the book. The book is Tradition to Church, Truth. Talk about what you went through, the research process, how long it was, and what you went through in doing this examination.
You know, when you're researching things, and thankfully today we have this thing called the internet.
Yes.
And there are a lot of manuscripts out there that are digitized and searchable. Thankfully, there are people who have allowed their PhD thesis papers to be put on certain websites where you have access to them, where you can read them. I don't know how many PhD research thesis papers I read when I was researching this. And every once in a while, if something, you know, hit a note and I thought, you know, I've got to find this person. If they were still alive, I would call and ask. And talk to these folks. And most of them realized, you know, years after they had written what they'd written, that they probably should have written it a different way to have it make more sense. But there's just a ton of research out there. We have ancient manuscripts that have been digitized. They're searchable. We can go through those now. And we realize there are certain things that are included in the Bible that weren't included previous to, well, as late as the 16th century. So some things have been added. We don't know what's been taken away. But you know, those are the things you run into when you're doing the in-depth research that I did. And
I like that.
I wanted to keep Tradition to Truth simple, so I sort of combined some of the traditions and where they came from just to make it easier for people to understand and realize that, you know, there were people doing these things that for many, many years that they probably shouldn't have been doing.
It is a fascinating read. We'll answer many of your questions, again, laid out in such a way it's easy to read, it's easy to understand. It's a book that you will read probably a number of times, will pass along to friends, to family members, an excellent addition, as are Jerry's other two books, to the family library. This book is Tradition to Truth, One Man's Search for Honest Answers. Knowing the difference between our traditions and what the Bible really tells us, how has that information affected your personal life? What has this journey meant for you?
Well, the first thing that I had to do, once I realized there were things that we were doing and that I taught my family to do, I had to approach my wife, who is the daughter of a Baptist preacher that spent years on the mission field as well. And I had to say to her, yeah, there's some things that we're doing we probably shouldn't be doing.
Yes.
But the outcome of that is once, you know, and once you see something, you can't unsee it. Once she figured out, you know, you're probably right. And she kind of came on board and we changed our lives to match more of what the Bible says. We spent years searching for a house and something would always get in the way. And it was never really the finances. It was always the dumb stuff. We had one house that we had a contract on, and we were getting ready to get a settlement, and our lawyer called and said, I can't let you buy that house. The bank that owns it, or the bank that is selling it, doesn't own it. And I finally told her, no, we're not going through this. And the more we started looking around, when the timing was right in the eyes of God, the house that we bought, we were sitting down at the settlement table less than 15 minutes, and it was done.
Wow.
That's what can happen when you do things his way and don't try to force your way and get in his way while he's trying to fix you. So, you know, knowing the difference has really had a huge effect on not just my life, but my family's life as well.
So many lessons in the book, Tradition to Truth, and Jerry's story and how he went and did this, did the research, the conclusions that he finds, the impact it's had on his life. Most people who read the book, probably I'm going to put in the category of Christian or Jewish. Have you had any feedback from atheists or people from other religions?
Yes, I have. A friend of mine who claims to be atheist, I'm not entirely sure he is, but that's what he claims. He said after reading the book, he says, you know, I'm still not convinced, but now I have the information I need that I can have a good conversation with people who try to convert me, because I can tell them what they're doing they probably shouldn't be doing either. Muslim friends have said, yeah, I'm not convinced, but you're more on track with what your religion should be than most people. And, you know, the interesting thing that came out of one of those conversations is he agreed that the Muslims have the same problem that Christians and Jewish people have, and that is they have the book, but they're not always doing what's in the book.
Interesting.
They'd rather follow their traditions than what's in the book. So, yeah, that was always interesting. Those conversations are always interesting.
Interesting that you have credibility because you've questioned and you've went and you've gone and you've found the answers. The book is Tradition to Truth, One Man's Search for Honest Answers. That's one of three books by our guest on the program, Jerry Mitchell. His website, very simple, author, jerrymitchell.com. Book available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the usual places. My thanks to BooksToLifeMarketing.com for arranging our conversation with Jerry today. And, of course, all this on our website, direct links on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Let's talk about another book that you've written, God's Universe, God's Rules. I love that title, God's Universe, God's Rules. How did you come up with the title?
That is interesting because as I was getting ready to write God's Universe, God's Rules, and it's not to replace Tradition to Truth, it's actually an expansion of Tradition to Truth. One of the things that I kept going through my mind was, you know, if we just follow God's instructions, we'll be better off. And I was actually sitting in the yard one night. We had a little bonfire, and I looked up, and the stars were shining, the moon was bright, and I thought, it really is His universe. We should probably follow His rules. Everything else does.
Yes.
You know the planets orbit the way they're supposed to. Gravity works the same all the time like it's supposed to. You know, the animals, you know, they don't do anything goofy most of the time. So, yeah, it's probably a good idea. If it's His universe, we should probably follow His rules.
Well, I love the title of the book, God's Universe, God's Rules, the author, Jerry Mitchell, our guest on the program. This book is receiving excellent reviews, people saying this really is a unique perspective. What's in this book, God's Universe, God's Rules, that may not be in other books, something that's not similar to other books that have been written?
Well, what I try to do is make direct comparisons. I speak about biblical authority quite often in God's Universe, God's Rules. And are we putting more emphasis on man's authority or God's authority? So what I try to do there is say, look, here's what the Bible says. Here's what mankind has come up with. You know, you decide where your life falls into this. There's a lot of people that would rather, and how I want to say this and have it make sense. They would rather continue in their ignorance than understand the truth.
Okay.
Well, there's no safety there. You've got to be able to gather information and decide and choose for yourself what you want to do with that information. And that's what I try to do. And, you know, a lot of books try to tell you, you know, what you should think about a certain thing. And what I attempt to do is not tell people what to think, but give them something to think about and then show them how to think about the differences.
You do that so well in God's Universe, God's Rules. You do that. That's a trait of Jerry's writing in all of his books. The third in the series is Inheriting Lies, and we'll talk about that here in a few moments. What is something that Christians are doing that doesn't reflect biblical authority?
The biggest thing today is marriage and divorce. We don't understand what marriage really is. And there's several reasons we don't understand that. Marriage is a covenant relationship. And in a covenant relationship, you know, it's not like a contract. It's kind of like a contract, but it goes much deeper. You know, there's three parts to a covenant. There is the agreement where people want to have, you know, they come together and they say, this is what we want. And then you have the arrangement, which are the parameters for what you're going to do, and then you have the confirmation. Well, the actual marriage ceremony is or should be the confirmation of the arrangement. And a lot of times people say, well, it's 50-50. Well, if you bring 50% of yourself into a marriage, that marriage is going to fail. You know, you have to be all in. It's 100%, 100% on both sides. And the way that the ancient Hebrew people viewed it was, you know, the man would bring whatever he was bringing. He would typically build the house. The wife would bring the things that went into the house. And if something happened and they had to divorce, whoever the offending party was left everything behind. If it was the man, he left the house. If it was the woman, she left all her possessions. That's the way it worked. Divorce is another thing that we just really have confused it because we want to make it simple and easy, and it's not. It shouldn't be. A lot of denominations really don't accept divorce except in, you know, the case of adultery. And they point out to something that Jesus said in Matthew where, you know, except in the case of basically it's fornication or adultery, you know, you shouldn't divorce. I don't agree that he said that. He may have said something similar to that, but I don't think he said those exact words because the punishment for adultery was death. There would be no need for divorce.
Interesting.
And once you put that together, you're like, oh, well, maybe we need to look at this a little closer. And there are provisions in the books of Moses for divorce. And that's what the Jewish people would have been going by at the time that Jesus was around. And I'm pretty sure if he would have said those words, he'd have been considered a false prophet and probably been killed at the time.
The book is God's Universe, God's Rules. Jerry Mitchell, the author, our guest on the program, website author jerrymitchell.com. Books available basically wherever books are sold. You can link on to his website, get information, order the books there, of course, as well. What do you hope people get from reading the book, God's Universe, God's Rules? What's the takeaway?
What I really hope they do is twofold. One is I want them to ask questions. I want them to look at the things they're doing, look at their doctrines, look at their traditions, and say, does this really conform to the Bible? The other thing I want them to do is to read it and say, you know what? I don't agree with this, and I'm going to open my Bible, and I'm going to do some studying, and I'm going to prove him wrong. And if I can get them to do that, at least I've got them reading the Bible.
Reading the Bible and thinking. Those are not too bad things to leave them with after they've read God's universe and God's rules. We've talked about this before, but I'm always fascinated by this. What makes the Bible so hard to understand for a lot of people? You dug into this. You found answers. You were there tenaciously looking for answers. For most of us, it's just easier to accept than it is to question. Why is it so hard for us to understand the Bible?
A lot of times we want to read the Bible through certain filters, whether it's the filters of our denomination, the filters of what we see in the entertainment industry. And we try to force those things onto the pages of the Bible we're reading. When we do that, we detract and subtract from what's really there. And we confuse ourselves quite often because we're saying, well, this has to be there. I know it's in here somewhere. I just can't find it, so I must not be smart enough to find it. And it's not that people aren't smart enough to find it. It's they're not taking off those filtering glasses that we're reading. My wife says, just read the words. And quite often, even in English, you know, just reading the words makes a big difference. Another thing that people get hung up on is translations. You know, the Bible's been translated into English now. I think there's 101 or 102 different translations. And some of them are confusing. You know, King James has been around for a long time, but it really is kind of hard to read for a lot of people. I hate to promote anything like this, but, you know, the International Children's Bible quite often gets it right, and it's very easy to read. I use that a lot when I'm teaching and a lot in the podcast that I do. So if you can keep it simple and keep it easy and keep it basic, most of the time you're going to find out, oh, it's not that hard. It really is quite easy to do, quite simple to read. You know, and really, it can be exciting, and there's a lot of things in there.
It's interesting. Sometimes we need children's literature. They do a section, I'm thinking maybe once a month in the New York Times on Sunday, where it takes issues of the day and breaks them down for a younger reader. And I read through that, and I'm thinking, why can't the regular writers do this for adults so we understand this thing? They have to make it maybe a whole lot more complicated and intricate than it needs to be. And you're saying the same with the Bible. So get a copy of that. That will unlock many of the questions you're talking about. And we'll talk before we finish the conclusion today about Jerry's podcast, Give God 90. I love the inspiration for that and what you're doing with that. This book is God's Universe, God's Rules. Some people would say, is there a secret code? Jerry, did you have the secret code that allowed you to sit and to be able to interpret and come up with information for three books? Is there a secret code?
Kind of. You don't get, you know, if you go to Bible college or seminary, you don't get this secret decoder ring that tells you how to read it. Yes. What I have actually found is if you can go back through the language, the culture, the history, one of the hardest things I had to do was study Hebrew. I am terrible at foreign language. My four teachers in school that tried to teach me Spanish, I'm sure were pulling their hair out because I just couldn't get it. But learning Hebrew was different because you're not just using the letters and the characters we're used to. You have to learn a whole new set of letters and a whole new way to think about things. And once you understand that, it helps immensely. Hebrew is not like English. Hebrew is a verb-based language, which means it's action-based, where English is description-based. And once you understand that everything in Hebrew is action, not always description, and you begin to think that way, it changes the way you read the Bible completely. Because you're no longer just reading a description. You become part of the action.
Fascinating. The book is God's Universe, God's Rules. Jerry Mitchell takes this approach to all of the books that he's written, The Others, Tradition to Truth, One Man's Search for Honest Answers, and Inheriting Lies that we will be talking about shortly. What kind of feedback do you get from pastors or rabbis about this book? What are they saying to you? What's the response you're getting?
I get mixed reactions, which is good. Most Christian pastors reject it because it interferes with what they're teaching. A lot of rabbis like it because they say this gives a broader understanding from our perspective. I have had pastors tell me, you know, I really love this, but I can't preach this because I'll get fired. And that's a difficult position for a pastor to be in.
Yes.
When you have a congregation that does the hiring and firing, and you're not telling them what they want to hear, you're not going to last very long. So, you know, they sort of have to begin to inject some of the things very little bit at a time, which isn't always bad. A person that is 400 pounds overweight didn't get that way overnight. You know, it took years for them to get that way, and it takes years for them to lose that weight back. But making small changes every day, every week that we can live with will turn things around.
When people say, what you're teaching is different than the way I learned it, and are they accusing you of trying to convert them maybe to an alternate religion or a cult? Are they skeptical of your intentions?
Some people are. And I'm not trying to convert anybody. I'm not saying you need to leave your denomination. I'm not saying you need to convert from Christianity to Judaism or Judaism to Christianity or anything else. What I am trying to do is just simply get people to live the way they're designed to live. You know, we're free to worship any way that we choose to worship. We can go back into Genesis, and God tells Adam to guard and tend the garden, the word tend there, you know, everybody thinks he's going to go out there and work in it. Well, one of the other ways to translate that is to worship. He is to guard and worship in the garden. And you know, obedience is better than sacrifice. If you are being obedient and doing the things he's asking you to do, that is actually a form of worship. But no, I'm not trying to convert anybody into doing anything other than, you know, hopefully following God's rules.
The other feedback you get from the people who read the book, friends, family, people you don't even know that review the books online, how do people who read this book, the book is God's Universe, God's Rules, how do they change? Do they change?
Some change. Some really do. Some realize, I've been doing this my way, and it's not working. And, you know, it may be something as simple as I'm not happy. I don't feel comfortable in my own skin. And once they change and they begin their day, instead of dreading getting out of bed, looking forward to the day, it gives them a different perspective on life. I've had a lot of people tell me, you know, I tried it and it works. I've had other people say, this will never work. You know, there's just no way that simply doing things God's way, putting his way first, putting him first, is going to change anything in my life. And you know, those folks are still miserable.
Well, yes.
And that's a bad thing to say, but it's true. You know, if you keep doing the same thing all the time that makes you miserable and you don't change anything, you're just going to keep being miserable. And I think I said in this book that some people love to live in misery.
and complain about it and tell other people they're miserable. I one final question on this book, God's Universe, God's Rules, and you touched on it there, that people, not everybody achieves the level of happiness that they would like to have in their lives. They know it's something that's fleeting, but I'm just not getting there. Or the miserable was the word that you used. They're just not feeling fulfilled in their lives. What words would you have for the average person listening to this program? How will this book impact them?
Information. If you can sit down and view information side by side and get an understanding that, okay, the information that I've had from other people has led to my life looking like it does. Maybe if I take this information that God is giving me and I start to apply that to my life, maybe I can change. It comes down to a personal choice, but you can make that choice. You don't have to continue doing the things that keep you where you are. You can change, and it's very, very simple. You a lot of times people get hung up on they equate what I'm trying to promote as getting into heaven through works, and that's not what I'm at. Where I'm at is, let's not worry about getting into heaven through works. Let's focus on making ourselves better while we're still here. Because what we're, everybody's given the talent, everybody's given a skill, everybody's given something that should benefit mankind. And if you use those skills to benefit the people around you, hopefully the people around you are going to start using their skills and their talents to benefit the people around them, and you're going to get caught up in that. So it lifts everyone up. And it's not about me, it's about us. When you put it that way, it's not always about us. It really is about God.
God's Universe, God's Rules, one of three books written by Jerry Mitchell, our guest on the program. We've talked about the first, Tradition to Truth, One Man's Search for Honest Answers. Information and all of the books can be ordered at Jerry's website, authorjerrymitchell.com. Let's talk about the third book that you've written, Inheriting Lies. I love all of your titles. They're very succinct. They're to the point. They capture our attention. How did you come up with the title, and why did you write Inheriting Lies?
I wrote Inheriting Lies because the first two books are very general, very easy to read, very easy to understand. And the people who read them wanted more. They wanted something more in depth. They wanted something in detail. They wanted something they could take to a Bible study and say, let's go through this book and see what it's like. And that's why I wrote Inheriting Lies. The title itself comes out of Jeremiah 16:19. Jeremiah is offering this prophecy, and he stops in the middle of it, and he offers a prayer, and he says, Lord, he says, some translations say nations, some say Gentiles, but it's actually the people. The people will return to you and say that our fathers have inherited nothing but lies. They're empty. They're meaningless. And in the next verse, he says, they have us praying to gods that are not gods at all. And that's kind of what Inheriting Lies is about. I wanted to look at some of the things we've inherited and put those side by side with what's really in the scriptures.
And another book you've written that gets us thinking. This book is Inheriting Lies. Who should read this book? Who did you write this for?
I really wrote it for people who are serious about their faith. When I finished it, I read back through it, and I said, this book should be on the desk of every seminary student and every Bible college student around the world. It's that in-depth, and it's that detailed. And more importantly, it covers many of the questions that if you do go into the clergy, these are the questions people are going to ask you. And it teaches you how to answer those questions.
What makes this book different? You might have just talked about that in the detail and the meticulous research you put into this. This book does stand out. Again, all the reviews point that out. Inheriting Lies is a unique presentation. What makes the book different?
It challenges our interpretations.
Okay.
A lot of people use hermeneutics to study, and hermeneutics basically is a set of rules, or a specific set of rules that you use to form a guess as to what something might mean. I do something different. I call it biblical forensics, and what I do is go back through the clues. If there's a word in the New Testament that's used often, I go back and see what maybe a comparison word is, not in the Septuagint like many people try to do, but I go back to the original Hebrew and I say, let's see if this compares. If there's not that word, is there a passage that identifies what's being spoken about? The Old Testament we have today was actually, Ezra and Nehemiah are actually the ones who are credited with putting it together. Don't know what they left out, but since that time, the scribes have done their best to maintain that authority with it. Unfortunately, we don't have that in the New Testament because the New Testament letters were just considered letters that were written and people copied them out rather sloppily. There's a lot of copies out there in the manuscripts that we have known about today that they just leave things out. They added things in. Things are changed. And the problem with that is it's very, very difficult because you have to actually figure out, was this part of the original or did this get added later and when did it get added?
Yes.
And if you can't find it in the Old Testament, chances are it was added later.
Interesting. This is a fascinating conversation with our guest author, Jerry Mitchell. This book is Inheriting Lies. You open the book by discussing the difference between sacred and inspired. What is the difference, and why do you feel this is so important?
The big difference is if we think something is sacred, it should come from God. There's several times in the Old Testament we read, thus saith the Lord, right?
Yes.
Doesn't say that in the New Testament at all. But if it is sacred, then we put more emphasis on it. We give it more credibility. Inspired comes from man. An artist can be inspired to paint a picture. It might be a very beautiful picture. A craftsman can be inspired to build a beautiful piece of furniture. That inspiration is different than sacred because inspiration comes into us. It doesn't come directly to us. And I go into some pretty detailed biological explanations for that in the book as well. The difference between inspiration and expiration, that kind of thing. Inspiration comes out of man. Sacred comes directly from God.
An important distinction, and it's laid out so well for all of us to understand in Inheriting Lies. There's some controversial things in your book. As you're writing that, publishing this, are you afraid of being accused of heresy or challenging someone's faith? And have you had those accusations?
Oh, yeah. In fact, that's the chapter titles for one of the chapters in Inheriting Lies is Let the Heresy Trial Begin. because I ask people to consider a very basic question. Christians like to talk about the atoning blood of Jesus. And it's a long explanation. I'm not going to go into the whole thing, but where in the Bible does it say his blood atones? Now, his blood does a lot of things. Christians are the first ones who say, oh, he's the Lamb of God, he's the Passover Lamb, and this kind of thing. But the blood of the Passover Lamb isn't used for atonement. It's used as a sign of protection. Big difference.
Yes.
So I look at that, and hopefully I explain it very well in the book. I hope everyone who has questions about that buys it and reads it. But it's something we need to think about. It's something we need to consider. Have we looked at this kind of a little off? Are we missing something? And I think the answer is yes.
This book, as well as the other two written by Jerry, will get you to think. Three books now that you've written, do you plan on writing another book?
I hope not, but if I do, it's going to be a long process, because what I want to do is answer a question that I'm often asked, and that is, can we trust the Bible? And my answer is yes. When we verify that what we have is exactly matching the original as closely as possible. I've got a lot of reference material, a lot of research material. One of the things I found out is, even as late as the 16th century, there are things that are included in the King James Bible that probably should have not been there. There was a gentleman in the 16th century who was writing his version. I don't say version, but he was transcribing, and he wanted to get it from the original Greek. And the people who read it were upset with him. They said, you left something out that's drastically important. It's got to be in there. And he said, well, it's not in any of the Greek manuscripts that I have. And it's found in 1 John chapter 5, by the way. And they were arguing with him. And he said, look, if you find me a Greek manuscript that has this in it, I'll include it in my next publishing. Well, the good folks wanted it in there so bad, they simply created a Greek manuscript for him to copy. So two gentlemen in the 19th century, Westcott and Hort, looked at the Textus Receptus and considered it villainous and vile. And the received text, the Textus Receptus, is what the King James Bible is based on. And now we have their version, which I believe was the ESV that finally came out of that. But, there are things there that we need to verify. There are things that are said. There are things that are written. The Bible contains narrative, and it contains monologue, and it contains transcripts of conversations. We need to look at those things and say, is what they're saying make sense? We need to look at those things and say, is what I'm reading in this particular chapter of this book, does it match what I'm reading in the other chapters? Is it the same writer writing it? When we can verify it, that's when we know we've got as close to the truth as we can get. But that's going to take some writing. That's going to take some time, and I don't know if I'll ever get to it.
Well, if you check Jerry's website from time to time, authorjerrymitchell.com, not only you can get information and order the three books we're talking about in the conversation today, you'll find out if Jerry is working on another book. It sounds like, once again, a topic well worthy of the exploration, going to take, I'm sure, a long time to do that. But hopefully you'll do that, and we'll have a chance to talk about that as well. If somebody's been listening to the program, or they read your books, and there's something there that's on their minds that they've been giving a lot of thought to, but it's not included in the book, how do you suggest they go about doing that? How do they research it on their own?
There's a lot of ways. One of the ways I hope they would do would be to go to givegod90.com, givegod90.com. That came from a conversation I had with an Orthodox rabbi, and I made the offhand comment, if people would just live the way they're supposed to live for 90 days, they'd see their life improve and hopefully keep doing it. But on there's some videos linked to, there's a player there that has my latest podcast. There's over 600 podcasts now that I've put out. So there is a ton of information out there from me. There's other really, really, really good folks out there. You got to be careful today who you listen to, because there's a lot of misinformation out there as well. I always say one of the things we look for and listen for is how many times they ask for donations during their podcast or during their interviews or during their, on their website, yes. That kind of thing.
Yes.
If they're consistently begging for money, you might want to kind of think about that. But there's a lot of ways out there today that you can get really, really good information from folks. just be careful who you listen to.
I love the concept of give God 90. Talk about that and the style of living. If we were to actually follow the Creator, the way the Creator designed us to live, what would that look like?
You know, a lot of people think that it means, oh, you're dressing a certain way, or you have to cut your hair a certain way, or you have to do this way. And that's not what it's about. Living the way your Creator designed you to live means using your skills, using the talents that you were given before birth, so that you can benefit the people around you. It also means, you know, there's things that you do, there's things that you accept. Peter writes that Jesus is our example. Well, if Jesus is our example, maybe we should do things the way he did them.
Yes.
And that means, and this is a very controversial topic too, eating the way he would have eaten. Maybe we should be praying the way that he prayed, not just simply reciting a rote prayer that he may have said. But actually having that deep connective faith with the Father so that we can have the blessings he chooses to give us. If we're living the way we're designed to live, we're pretty much following his instructions. A lot of people get hung up on, well, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not murder. There's a very short list of things we're not allowed to do. But the list of things that we should be doing isn't given, because we are free to show all the love, all the compassion, do all the good that we can for each other. And we do that using those skills and talents that he gives us.
It's been a pleasure, Jerry, to have you on the program, where the time has gone by so quickly. I love the concept, and we just touched on it very briefly there for give God 90. If you live like you were intended to live for 90 days, see the impact that has not only on you, but those people around you, the impact it has on all of us in the world. How often do you publish a podcast?
Currently, we're doing twice a week. I'm live on Monday morning and Thursday evenings, but that is going to change at the end of the year, because the platform I'm using is doing away with their live. And that's good and bad, because it will give me an opportunity to be able to go into more depth with some things and edit some things that I probably wanted to say different. But currently there's two a week, and I hope folks really enjoy them. I know I get a lot of positive feedback from them.
What is the website again?
GiveGod90.com.
It's very simple to remember, and information on all of the books that Jerry has talked about available on his website, authorjerrymitchell.com. The three books, Tradition to Truth, One Man's Search for Honest Answers, God's Universe, God's Rules, and Inheriting Lies, all three very important additions to the family library. The books available wherever books are sold. Direct you to Jerry's website, authorjerrymitchell.com. My thanks once again to BooksToLifeMarketing.com for arranging this conversation. Books to Life Marketing, know your book's purpose to life. Jerry, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. Touch the surface of all three of the books. Hopefully we can continue our discussion at some point. It's been a pleasure. Very informative program, getting us thinking after all that we've heard over the course of the conversation. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
It has been our pleasure. Again, the guest is Jerry Mitchell. The books are available at his website, authorjerrymitchell.com. Direct link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.